Bleiben Sie aktiv und zusammen mit uns nah am Marktgeschehen. Alle Episoden finden Sie auf www.chartered-investment.com/podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Funds in 15 Minutes. Today I'm talking to Bryce Kovacs, founder of Iquan Solution. Hello, Bryce. Very nice to meet you.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me. Pleasure being on your podcast.
Absolutely, having you as well. So let's kick right into it. So Bryce, first of all, by way of a little introduction, please let us know and our listeners, what are you doing with Iquan Solutions?
Thanks, David. Iquan Solutions is a fintech data management company, and we specialize in fund reporting. We help our clients with client reporting and automation of regulatory reporting.
Oh, that sounds very, very interesting. So Bryce, today we want to talk about a particular topic right into that scope, which is beyond the KID, the KID, why fund data delivery makes or breaks European distribution. And that said, I would suggest we jump right into the questions I have in mind for you. And first things first, it is often rightfully claimed that European distribution challenges go quite beyond producing regulatory documents, such as the PRIIPs KID, et cetera, et cetera. And if we zoom out of that, what are the operational realities that decide whether a fund is actually distribution ready in Europe?
Yeah, absolutely. I like the term that you coined, distribution ready. Fund managers need to make sure that their regulatory information as well as their market data is available with fund platforms, distributors, and investors. And not only the documents that you have mentioned earlier, the KID or the KID document, but also all this information in a machine-readable format. Now, there are several different requirements that fund managers need to fulfill, and I would like to set the stage and just walk you through all these different requirements. So a natural place to start is regulatory reporting. You already mentioned the PRIIPs KID, and luckily there are standards in most cases that asset managers can use to also produce this data in a machine-readable format. So the Findatex publishes the EPT template, which is basically just the machine-readable output of a PRIIPs KID. Then the next regulation we have to mention is the MiFID II regulation that requires asset managers to disclose target markets and cost and charges. And similarly, the Findatex has a template for it called the European MiFID template, EMT, and this template needs to be made available to platforms, distributors, and investors alike. Lastly is SFDR, the ESG regulation, where managers need to disclose pre-contractual and periodic documents. Again, the Findatex has provided a very strenuous template, over 600 fields in this template that asset managers can populate and should populate to deliver this information to their investors. Now, beyond the scope of regulatory reporting is portfolio information and market data. And the typical documents that come into play here are fact sheets and the legal prospectus. Obviously, the legal prospectus lays down the foundation of how the fund umbrella structure works with all of its subfunds and share classes. And the Open Funds has published the go-to-market standard to disclose this information. They also integrated several fields, over 1,000 fields in the Open Funds template. And asset managers are able to disclose IDs, reference data for the various share classes, the fund, country registrations, as well as marketing-related information as to what type of investors are eligible to invest into the funds. They also have templates for dynamic data such as NAVs and distributions, as well as also aggregations on portfolio level to help aid the investment decision-making progress of investors. Now, this is more on the retail side and for the UCITS platforms. We have to think about institutional investors and their requirements as well.
Absolutely.
Institutional investors have their own regulatory requirements. So Solvency II regime is a good example. Insurance companies in Europe have to do a look through of their fund investments. And so asset managers have to provide them the so-called TPT template, which is a full look through and transparency on the investments of the fund. Similar approaches are prevalent for banks who need to fulfill the Basel III requirements and CRR, or for pension funds. But it's a slightly more fragmented space where country-specific requirements are prevalent, like VAG in Germany, UVIP in Italy, or FTK in the Netherlands, just to name a few. I think it's, as a final point here, it's worth mentioning what the consequences are if the data is not available. So if the regulatory or reference data is not available on the distribution platforms, investors simply cannot invest. So that's an absolute full break. If dynamic information is not available, it probably reduces the visibility of the fund, which leads to probably less likelihood of distribution. And finally, we see compliance risk as well that we should mention here, as there might be some discrepancies between documents. That's also something asset managers should make sure that that the documents and data they provide are aligned and consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. That is very insightful, and it is basically exactly how I feel about this particular subject. So you've already indicated it with your first answer to that question, that Europe has extremely, like, very many intermediaries between the manager and the actual end investor, right? And from a systems perspective, what does a distribution data supply chain look like from your perspective? And what are the most common breakpoints? For instance, is the weakest link usually at the source data, the transformation formatting, or is it rather platform acceptance and visibility layer?
Yes, so actually both. So as you mentioned, fund distributors must make sure that the regulatory and market data is available to their investors. And given the fact that they might have hundreds of different fund providers on their platform, they typically tend to go to intermediaries to source this information. Now, there are several vulnerabilities on this market, and it helps to understand how intermediaries such as data platforms or data aggregators work. So intermediaries can source data and different data points from different other intermediaries, which creates a very intransparent supply chain of data. And it's very difficult to follow how data flows across the supply chain. We see some extreme cases when a single data point has touched 5-6 different intermediaries until it ends up with the end investor. Mm-hmm. Intermediaries have also their own validation rules. They can have country-specific requirements, and they often transform the data into their own system, whereby they might leave out data points that are not relevant for them, or might convert data points in a slightly different way than their recipients might expect it. So there's a lot of challenges around how data is transferred and provided onwards to their recipients. Another issue that we see is that the actual data transition mechanism is quite outdated. It's very much email or SFTP based, which is legacy technology. And it's also very much file based, which makes it it's very simple challenges that asset managers run into. An Excel spreadsheet with some marketing with additional columns and additional tabs that can break the process, or a simple CSV file might have different separators or date format or 1,000 separators that can break the process. So we really see two approaches on the market. One is the lazy blast approach, and the second one is a more targeted approach. We see asset managers who choose to essentially send their data to everybody and hoping that the data will end up on the right platforms and their investors will have access to it when they need it. What we tend to recommend our clients to do is a much more calculated approach, whereby there's about 20 different data platforms in Europe who are responsible for 99% of the data distribution in Europe. These are platforms like Allfunds, Clearstream, FE Fund Info, London Stock Exchange, Morningstar, and the like, just to name a few. And our recommendation is to build very strong relationships with these vendors. So have a clear process agreed upon how the data is transformed, what data format is required, what is the file format, who are the key individuals, humans, who you can contact if something breaks down. And building these relationships not only helps to identify breaks in the process, but also helps to create a better process long term to be able to avoid data issues in the future.
Excellent, Bryce. Yeah, lovely. So we've already touched upon a few of those points, but just to make it very clear, when we talk about data delivery as opposed to document production, what actual capabilities sit behind that? Is it governance, processes, technology, or a vendor ecosystem, or all of that? And where do you see firms typically underestimate the complexity deriving from that?
Yeah, it's a great question, David. I think the answer is very simple, but it's much more difficult to actually implement it. In our view, a robust professional data management platform is the key to managing both data and documents that has proper governance, proper processes, and helps asset managers establish a validated, approved golden source of data for all of their fund ranges.
All right, so that leads me to the next question, because that is always like that is coming from so many ends. What does a good IT data infrastructure actually look like? So if you had to define a target operating model for cross-border distribution, what are the few non-negotiables like ownership controls, service level agreements, reconciliation or monitoring?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So I think first and foremost, data ownership needs to be well-defined. Data might come from many different internal systems of the asset management company. So it might come from the custodian, fund administrator, legal team, marketing team, portfolio team. So there needs to be a very clear definition of who's responsible for what data point, who's reviewing what data point, and who's approving these data points. A good data management platform can help with that. The second point that is as an extension of this, there needs to be a very clear data definition structure. And the most prevalent in Europe is the open funds. People need to make sure that they have clear definitions of every single data point that goes into the system. Auditability is next. It's very important to be able to know for every single data point when that arrives in the system, who has updated it, who has changed it, and who has approved it. And of course, this has to come with timestamps. This is key from an auditability standpoint, but it's also just good, clean governance. The last point is I think probably the least trivial, but potentially the most important, is workflow management. There are several dependencies across different data points. A simple ongoing cost update will have an impact on the PRIPSKID, USITSKID, EMT, EPT, open funds, and probably several other documents. And monitoring that and staying on top of that can be a real challenge. And a good data management platform can certainly help with that and create efficiencies, both operational and timing-wise, to deliver correct information to end investors.
Yeah, absolutely. So the range of, some people used to think of information overload when it comes to all those documentations, data points, et cetera, and that point particularly leads us to one aspect which is often discussed in the boards, and which is accountability. So for all that, you know, and what is your opinion on how should managers actually think about accountability, who owns data quality and timeliness, and how do you avoid the classic, it's with the vendor, blame loop?
It's a great question. So circling back slightly to auditability, I think a data management platform that has clear timestamps for every single data point really helps in understanding what has gone wrong and also to help better shape processes for the future to avoid issues. For us, particularly at Iquant, we have adopted an open architecture model whereby clients are able to log into our system and make amendments and changes to any single data point they please. And that really helps in several different ways. First and foremost, it reduces the number of email back and forwards that can be operationally inefficient and can lead to confusion because people write emails quickly. They don't necessarily connect it to proper data definitions. And if the asset manager has the ability to log in and make the adjustments, then the responsibility and onus is really sitting with them to make sure that the correct data is entered in the system in the right way. So that's certainly one aspect. Second thing that I think is very important to mention here is validations. We have extensive validations both on the input and output reports, and that really helps to catch mistakes early. And the earlier the mistake is caught, the less overhead that needs to be redone.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bryce, there's no episode of Funds in 15 Minutes without a little bit of crystal balling, right? So let's look in the future. What do you expect from such forward-looking approach? Do you expect standardization to improve, for instance, more convergence in data templates, platform requirements, or will the landscape stay fragmented? So what should managers now think of to stay resilient over the next 1 to 2 years?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, short-term, it's unlikely that there would be a massive shift towards fully automated data flows. Mm-hmm. However, there is constant cost pressure on the whole industry. That's true for asset managers, vendors, and data management companies. So enabling efficiencies is absolutely key for all market participants. If we think more midterm, there are very positive examples that we can rely on from parallel industries like banking, where open banking is a very, very good example how they have created an API standard that enabled banks to seamlessly live integrate with each other. And I think this is really the path going forward for asset management industry as well, to create an open API standard where systems can communicate directly to each other, removing the need for all the intermediaries in the process and removing the need for having the file-based transmission to exchange data between different market participants. I think all market participants would benefit from this. Investors would have data much quicker and in abundance. Data platforms can focus on building robust data management platforms and less focus on fixing breaks. And ultimately, the asset managers can distribute funds quicker so they can start making more management fees over time. So I think it's for the greater good of the industry. And we at Iquant are big supporters of this new initiative and a fully technology-first-based data exchange.
Bryce, thank you very much. That was extreme pleasure to talk to you. Dear ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, this was Funds in 15 Minutes with Bryce Kovacs of Iquant Solutions. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Really enjoy the conversation.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Dieser Podcast dient ausschließlich Informationszwecken. Die besprochenen Inhalte stellen weder eine Anlageberatung noch eine Empfehlung oder ein Angebot zum Kauf oder Verkauf von Fondsanteilen dar. Bitte treffen Sie Investitionsentscheidungen ausschließlich auf Basis offizieller Verkaufsunterlagen.